empty place before me now. The wind is in my head. Words don't come so easy, but I'm trying. I'm searching for a melody or some forgotten line. They can slip away from us so quickly. Don't be unkind. I'm not complaining. I only feel it needs explaining. And though I said it all before, I'll say it once again. Everyone needs something, you just need it. So turn around, it's on the other side. Feel the sound, it's coming from deep inside. It will fill you with emotion if you let it be your guide. Forgotten what it stood for. I look into your face and see the searching in your eyes. I will be your servant to the end. Your music plays, and for the moment I feel that I'll be paid. I'm so fulfilled. So I said, all before, say it once again. You
Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, June 5th, 2023. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you are listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of the website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. You can also support us by purchasing the books Government by Consent and Court Access in the Common Law, also found on the right-hand side of our website. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last week in our scripture reading. We're in 2 John, the epistle of 2 John. Let me see if I can find that. Okay, here we go. Okay, read 2 John chapter 1. There's only one chapter in 2 John. Read by Alexander Scorby.
The second epistle of John. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. The end of the second epistle of John.
Okay, Ed, do we have any questions or announcements tonight?
Well, John, we have no questions again this week, but there are some interesting things going on.
Okay.
For example, the Maori in New Zealand, Australia, contacted Dr. Rainer Fulmich and his group of attorneys. They are sovereign citizens. They have their own government. They have their own legal system. And they are very much interested in prosecuting some of these people for the COVID violations that have been going on. And it'll be done totally within their purview. So they don't need an international tribunal or anything to do it. So that's something to watch that should be interesting.
These are a group of, did you say lawyers?
Maori, the indigenous tribe.
Oh, okay. And where are they located at? Out west somewhere, I guess?
Either New Zealand or Australia. I forget which
country. New Zealand.
New Zealand. Yeah. Okay. All right.
But they have their own system of government, everything. They allowed the white people to stay in their property, but they had to abide by their rules and so on. So they've never given up their sovereignty.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else?
Well, there is another one that Dr. Artis put out here this last week. These are listed in the newsletter called Watch the Water 2, which describes even more poisons now they've found in different things even in the wheat spray Roundup, they have some of these poisons. So we've been getting them for, what, since 2003. It's not new that they're just in the COVID vaccines. It just gets worse the farther you go.
Yeah, I posted that video up under today's issues, down to health issues. And I think that was probably the best place to put it, because it is a health problem, and it's ultimately we're being poisoned. So if people are interested, there's quite a few good interesting videos here about, particularly about cancer, the many cures of cancer. And so there's a lot of stuff up here and some other things. Anyway, okay, anybody wants to watch that video, again, it's under today's issues. Click on health issues, and it's the first video. All right, anything else?
No, that's pretty much it, John.
Okay, thank you. All right, I guess we'll go right into Q&A in a second. Anybody wants to get into the Q&A? Now is the time. Hey, Jen, by the way, I made an announcement the last couple of times. We've been on last Monday and also the past on Saturday. Has anyone else volunteered to assist us with the district coordinators? We need 10 of them, and I think we have 5 or 6. We need to get a meeting going on that soon. But has anybody else contacted you or anything, saying they're willing to, or at least come in to see if they're interested?
No, I have had no more volunteers, John.
Okay. All right, maybe you can work things out with Ed, and let's get a meeting going, and we'll see who we got and see what we can do, and hopefully we'll get some more people volunteering. And by the way, the work being done here at National Liberty Alliance, which is all volunteer, at some point in time we are working on trying to go professional, so we're looking for monies and from a few different ways. And when that happens, of course, I think things will be definitely be a lot more efficient. We'll get a lot more work done. We'll grow quicker. I mean, there's 1,000 things that could happen once we have people working full time. Okay, with that, I guess we're going to go right into the Q&A. There's only a few people in the queue, so if anybody wants to get into the queue, pop in. You just hit, if you're on an app, I'm sure it's just a button to get into the queue. If you're on a phone, it's *6 and a 1. All right, we'll take our first person in the queue. Let's see, maybe you can give us your first name and your state. You've been unmuted.
My name is LaDonna, and I'm from Ohio.
LaDonna from Ohio. Go right ahead,
yes,
LaDonna.
Sir. Recently, we started our committee of safety, and it is small, and we're definitely learning. Our first issue that we have encountered is the transgender use of the girls' bathroom and or locker shower room in a local school. This was not made public until a year or maybe a year and a half after it started. The school board made this public earlier this year and voted that that this was an acceptable practice at a school board meeting on April the 18th. We are, as a committee of safety, questioning this due to the fact that they're supposed to keep the kids safe and their best interests at heart. Plus, we feel that the board overstepped and allowed this for a year or more before bringing it to the public attention. That's the first part of my thing.
Okay. How long have you been a committee of safety? You said you just started it?
About 2 months.
Okay, and how many members do you have at this point, roughly speaking?
Right now we have about 6.
Okay. Have you done your first seminar yet and started through the process of the handbook on how to achieve certain things?
We have started some of that process, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I know that there are a lot of problems in the schools. It's very disturbing, and it's a lot of stress, especially when you start to realize, well, okay, maybe we can fix this problem, and we can deal with this problem, and you want to get it done right away. The unfortunate thing is, if you're not organized and educated on how to deal with this problem, you're not going to get anywhere. We do have a protocol on this, and you know, and the other thing is when you deal, and I'm going to explain that protocol a little bit, when you deal with these people, You want to deal with them in numbers, lots of people. And there is a way to pull a lot of people together to deal with. Matter of fact, working with the Committee of Safety, organizing and planning and executing a plan to deal with this problem in every school within your county. There would be different school districts, depending on where you want to start, whether you want to start on the elementary school, which is where I think we should start. There's also the high school, and there's, of course, the universities and colleges. So there's three different levels. And the reason I think we need to deal with the younger children first is because they're the most vulnerable, and their lives are totally being destroyed by the introduction of this creepy insanity that they're doing. And these people are without authority. They can be removed, and you can fix this problem. But it does take working with people collectively that really want to deal with this problem. So we're planning, and I'm going to give you a little bit of an idea on the protocol we have. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to put together maybe a PowerPoint on this program, on this this solution. And then let me see. This is maybe next month. We want to start the first Monday of the month. Communicating specifically with Committee of Safety leaderships, wherever you Committee of Safety that's out there. We're going to try to, you know, one of the reasons why we're looking for coordinators is to make contact and assist these people, like yourself, on a grassroots level, assisting them on the process and the procedure on how to create the Committee of Safety, how to structure yourself, and what things need to be done first. And one of the most important things, not only to have maybe a get to a point where you've had your seminar and have maybe 15 or 20 people. And then at that point, you want to be working on your sheriff. You got to get your sheriff in working with you. And I'm sure once the sheriff, if he's a decent individual and he looks at the literature and the information you give him, he should be working with you. And if he's not, you need to find another sheriff. And there's a plan to deal with that, too, if you have a sheriff that's not going to work with the people. He should also view you as constituents. He'll start to realize that you're the one that can get him on the ballot and keep him on the ballot. He'll start to realize that you're the ones that can get him elected and support him. And that's an important thing to work that relationship out. But he also has to see that we're operating within the law and through a process that our founding fathers really put together. And that's why we have to educate him. You know, the thing is if, let's take the sheriff. If the sheriff is not educated and he doesn't know the Constitution, he doesn't understand his powers and authorities, how can he really protect the law in his county? How can he do anything? I mean, he just becomes a water boy because a lot of sheriffs, they've lost their powers. And all they have to do is come to an understanding and realize their powers and authorities and just start exercising them. It's always good for a couple of sheriffs to get together, county to county, and to really organize themselves statewide, ultimately, eventually. And they are organized statewide, but the problem is they're controlled by the powers that be, so to speak, because they don't teach them the truth. They don't teach them what law actually is. They don't even know what law is anyway. And it's the same thing with the people. If you don't understand your powers and authorities, and you don't understand the authorities we've given to these people, and you don't understand how we can remove them from the positions that we've placed them into or were appointed into, then there's nothing you can do. I'm guessing, and I don't think this is too wild at this point in these days and age, I'm guessing probably 80 to 90% of whatever our legislators do is unlawful. We didn't give them power. We didn't give them authority. Surely we didn't give them the authority to take common law, which is the law of the land, which is one nation under God, under his law. Surely we didn't give them the power to take that law and cast it aside and replace it with man-made civil law, which controls our behavior and as time goes on, controls everything about us. And you can see how destructive that has become. And people are hopefully are starting to wake up to this. The problem is, are they waking up to come to a point of solution? Are they going to step up and do something about it? But you can find the people who will. Okay. So I'll give you just a general solution, but there are things that have to be done to prepare to execute this plan. And again, next Monday, we're going to go forward as if we're having our first Monday night meeting, which would be the same time, 9 to 11 here, which will focus in on an issue or two or three, probably one issue at a time, which is a national issue. And trying to get all the people down in the committees of safety that have started that, again, to come and be at this meeting so they can hear a possible solution. We can start brainstorming other ideas, and then these people can take that information back to the committees of safety, and they can discuss it and try to figure out what they're going to do. I do believe we have some really great plans that will be able to assist people in this, and I think they'll be able to execute them and have great success. But again, it is a process. I mean, I'd love to go out and say to everybody, let's go do it tomorrow. Let's get it done with. And let's get these destructive, insane people out of our school districts. These board members have got to go if they agree with some craziness like this stuff. So
and we have started that process, yes.
Excuse me?
I said, and we've started that process because
What's your plan to remove them? How are you going to get rid of
them?
Well,
this is what we've done thus far. We've followed the guidelines that Bonds for the Win have set up, and we sent out a request for their bond and oath for each member of the school board and also for the superintendent. And we sent that out on May the 3rd. And then a second request followed on May the 8th with a follow-up letter because we still had not received anything.
Okay.
And then,
let me just say something here. And I appreciate what you're doing and what you're trying to do. But to a major degree, you're acting, in a sense, without the knowledge of the powers and the authorities you can act with. For instance, going through the process, we have a different way of dealing with this problem, and it's immediate. And I'd like to explain that to you in a minute. And again, I think we'll do a PowerPoint on this on the first Monday of next month, which would be in July, whatever day the first Monday falls on. And the problem is executing the problem. So you give them a paper, they ignore you. What do you do next? Because that's what they're going to do.
Yes, they've already done, yes.
Okay, so what are you going to do now?
Well, we were instructed that we could possibly file a subpoena.
Well, who's going to, what power, what authority, who are you going to get to file a subpoena? You're going to open up a court case, what judge are you going to get to do this, and where do you think you're going to get a judge that's going to go along with this?
Well, that's what I wanted to ask about. Whether that was a feasible option or not.
Let me strongly suggest, and this is a good call, because we do have people, look at you cannot have government by consent through ignorance. You just can't have it. And I speak to myself first, okay? I was completely ignorant to all the things we teach here at one point in time. Go back, 15 years ago, when I started to get a little bit of knowledge in this stuff, on solutions and built up over the last 15 years through me research, and all my research is on the internet here. It's all on nationallibertyalliance.org. I've taken my research and put them into two books, one called Government by Consent, the other one called Court Access and the Common Law. I also have written 8 or 9, maybe 10 handbooks, okay? Each one of them are instructional. One of them is how to create a committee of safety. And, and we have to do it correctly and in order, in order to empower ourselves, in order to have the necessary knowledge and understanding of our own powers and our own authorities, and how to execute them and how to force them into a situation where they have no choice but to be obedient. And so the thing is that takes a little time to educate. And I know people are frustrated and they want to act right away. But, when you act right away without a plan, without knowledge of the situation, then it's just going to fail. It's not going to go anywhere. So the purpose of National Liberty Alliance is to empower the people on the grassroots level. But you have to go through the instructions. And you have to do it properly. If you take the Committee of Safety Handbook and you read through that, and you should get together. You've got six people. You know, you should all read it on your own and then get together and start discussing the issues. One of the problems we do have is we don't have enough volunteers and people being able to make the phone calls to assist people in this. And that's what we're trying to get going now. And as I mentioned, we have about 140, roughly speaking, committees of safety. And we need to make contact with all of those leaderships of all those different committees of safety, which should be listed. I presume you're listed up on a directory, correct?
Not yet.
Okay, well, that's an important...
To my knowledge, we don't even have a district leader because I tried to call the gentleman and there is no answer.
Well, this is the problem we have. You see, you know, one person put it to me this way. You know, I got some good news and I got some bad news. The good news is we got volunteers. Mm-hmm. The bad news is we got volunteers. You see, people who are volunteer, they put in a little bit of time, and sometimes they don't do what they need to do, what they say they're going to do. They took on a position, and then they don't answer their phone. It's kind of disturbing, but, you know, we get that. If they were professional, they'd answer the phone or they'd be fired. You see, that's the difference between volunteers and professional. We can't put that kind of pressure on the individuals. And that's why we need some real serious people who really want to save this nation. Every Monday night when I come on, I talk about the purpose of National Liberty Alliance, which is to save this nation. That's what we're here to do, is to save this republic. Really, in our case, to resurrect this republic, because it's been really trodden down for quite some time. So again, you know, anybody who wants to get serious about this and eventually be paid for this, right now it's volunteer, and might be maybe a couple hours a week, if that, just making a few phone calls. But here's the thing. You see, we need to assist people that are building the committees of safety. You have to have one person, and they don't have to maintain the leadership. You know, some people don't want to be leaders, and some people do want to be leaders, and some people, well, they don't care one way or the other, and they accept it if it's given to them. But whatever the case may be, you need one person to say, okay, I'm going to answer the phone on my end. So my question to you really was, are you? And I think your answer was. That you're not listed on a directory as a there's no leader in your committee of safety that you're trying to build that's listed on a directory. That's correct?
There is not a district leader because I've tried to call the district leader you guys have listed, but there is no answer. So
I'm not talking about. Let me try to do this another way. You're in Ohio, you said, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're in Ohio. Let's see. Ohio, we'll open that. What county are you in?
Allen.
Allen County in Ohio. Okay, we have Stark County. Matter of fact, we have two people in Stark County. Those two people need to get together. We have Lake County, we have Jackson County, we have Hardin County. And your county is, did you say?
We're Allen County, and we have also been in contact with the gentleman in Hardin County, and he's been working with us and helping us somewhat.
Okay, but you're not listed as there's no listing of Allen County. No one can find.
No, sir, not yet. There's not. No.
Okay, so you need someone to go up here, and become the leader of Ohio Hardin County, Allen County. That's what you need to do. That's where it starts. Then we would be able to pick you up. Okay, when we see that, and again, I'm trying to push this now, and hopefully I'll get a meeting with the five or six individuals we have, and we'll take the load of the 10, hopefully, and get in contact with the 140-some-odd district coordinators, county committees of safety, and then get them to our first national leader, which will be national meeting, which will be next, like I said, the first Monday of July, in July. But you've got to get your name up there. So once your name is up there, then someone would eventually contact you and start feeding you with information, telling you where to go, where to download the handbook. They would give you the list. For instance, you got 343 members in Ohio County, in Ohio. And you got 88 counties in Ohio. And we would give you the list of all 343 individuals that are in your state. We'll give you your first name, the county they're in, and their phone number. We don't give emails because we don't want people to be email blasting, and that's not how you build any kind of an organization. Organization is firsthand, person to person, mano to mano, so to speak, and communicating with the individual and working through things, okay? So what you would get a call, you'd get a list, okay, of all the people in your state, like I said. You'd be able to find other people that are in your county that signed up with us. You can start calling them and getting them online. You got six people, so you're in the position now to be able to get your first seminar going. So you need to locate a place. There's numerous places and numerous that you can do your seminar at. And we list a lot of those things on our page and in our handbook. If we get a lot of committees of safety started and going, and it's run by people who are ignorant to who we are as a people, and again, I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just that they have no knowledge of it, so they're ignorant. You can't have government by consent if you're ignorant to it. You don't know when they're pulling the wool over your eyes. You don't know when they're breaking the law. You don't know what violations they are violating, what jurisdiction they're acting within and what they shouldn't be doing. You don't know any of those things unless you learn them. And it doesn't take a lot to learn those things. It just takes time. And collectively, people learn collectively, at least in Committee of Safety. Some people know a little bit of this, and some people a little of that, and some people a little this, and you put it together, and you work out different problems and solutions, and you execute them together. So, you know, many hands make light work. But you have to have your seminar, and then you have to get your sheriff on board. And there's a plan for all this. You have to get your charter in place. You got to get your seal, okay? And you got to get some basic knowledge of the Constitution. You can get that on a course we give called, the Constitution 101, okay? You got to get your resolutions together. You got to bind it. You got to make your first visit with the sheriff. And there's a protocol for all of this. Each part of this is a protocol, and it's a process. So once you make contact with your sheriff for the first time, it's a five-minute meeting. You're not going in there to have any discussions. You're not going in there for a half hour or an hour. You're not inviting them to your meetings, nothing like that. You're just making first contact and say you'd like to get 5 minutes of his time, and you'd like to go down and see him. And the six of you go down together, and of course you've already had your seminar, so you'll have a lot more people than that at that point. And that's how you're really going to build this, is by having a seminar. And a seminar runs between 3 to 4 hours, and it lays out the whole process of what we're doing. And the people that are interested in this and come together in this, generally speaking, you'll get a high percentage of those people that will respond and join that committee of safety. And then you're going to grow. Every people will bring in other people with them. And that's another way you grow. And you get your sheriff. Like I said, your first sheriff meeting is about 5 minutes. And someone's mic is open. I'm coming feedback. Please check your mics, everybody. Anyway, you have this. Where was I? Okay, so you got your first five-minute meeting with the sheriff. The first five-minute meeting. Someone's mic is open. Oh, wait a second. That may be you just feeding back. Are you listening through a phone or the internet?
I'm on my phone.
On the phone, okay. Do you have a speaker open?
No.
You know, are you listening to speaker or you got it to your ear?
I have it to my ears.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, if I mute you, it'll only be until I finish talking, and then I'll unmute you, just because I'm hearing noise from time to time. Okay, but anyway, you go to visit your sheriff. Like I said, it's a five-minute meeting. You don't want to spend any more time than 5 minutes. It's an introduction. How you doing, sheriff? My name is this, and blah, 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 this, and then we're creating a committee of safety here in this county here, and we'd like to let you know what all about it. And then you see you have your resolution with you. You have it should be bound with your charter. So you have your charter, your resolutions. It'll have a seal. You take it down to Staples or Office Max someplace. They'll bind it for you, okay? And you give that copy to the sheriff. And you with that, you give him two books. There's a handbook, the county sheriff handbook, You can download that, but it's best if you get them a pocket handbook. It's not that expensive. It's about $5 or $6. I don't remember the amount on that, but it's a really powerful handbook. It's really good. It kind of gives the sheriff an overview of his real powers and authorities. And also a copy of the book, Government by Consent. Okay? So that's your gifts to the sheriff. And you're telling him, again, we're building a committee of safety. This is who we are. We want to let you know, and we'd like to have you visit us on one of our meetings, and we can set up and you can set it up at that point, maybe a month from then. Okay, so the sheriff now has this information. He's definitely going to read the handbook because the handbook is short. You know, I think it's probably about 50 or 60 pages, but it's a small pocket handbook, so it won't take him long to read that. So that he'll probably definitely read. And I got to imagine if it really interests him and he peruses through the Government by Consent book, he's going to be very excited and interested by reading that because it's about his job. The whole thing is about his job. He's the lawmaker. He's the lawkeeper in that county. He's the chief lawkeeper. So anyway, give him information. You give him the charter, which tells him who you are, what you're doing, what your plans are, your resolutions, your conclusions, and you invited him to your first meeting. Okay. Now, when it comes to the first meeting, then there's a plan on, that you can lay certain things out. But the big thing there is for a conversation. And you're really looking to see what his interest is in having the knowledge of the Constitution and what his job really is. He should be excited by you people going to see him and offering this material because, first of all, you're empowering him. Second of all, you're saying there's people in the community that want to support him as the lawkeeper of the county, and he'll realize at some point, as it does become part of the conversation, that you're available for him if he needs you. Posse comitatus, okay? You're available for posse comitatus. So anyway, now you get the sheriff on board, okay? Once the sheriff is on board, I'm going to mute you just while I'm talking here because I keep getting this noise, and I'll unmute you when I'm done, and then you can talk. But anyway, he's got all this information. He's come to visit your site, your meeting. He seems to be on board, and then you tell him, look, we want to make you part of this committee of safety to some degree. This is a people's business, but we need to be working with you, and we need to support you. We need to keep you in the office because we'll help walk your papers and do anything we can because you seem interested in really, enforcing the law, and that's what we want. We want a sheriff that's going to enforce the law. So anyway, at that point, you'll ask him if he can come to all your meetings or, which is once a month, or set a deputy. It doesn't matter. Just that you have a representation there. And therefore, they can also chime in what they're thinking. And if we seem to be going a little astray here or there, you can help correct us. That's the attitude you want to have with the sheriff. He's the most important thing. See, once you get to that point, and that could be done in 3 months. It's like a 3-month plan to get to that point. And when you get to that point, okay, now you're ready to do some work. Now you're really the first committee of safety. The first committee you're going to want to open up is two committees: the committee of safety, the committee of correspondence, which is under the committee of safety, and you want to get the educational committee. And at least those are the two ones that I would think are the most important right away. And I see you've got this interest of dealing with the problems with the education system. So now you take that and. And you got your committee of education working. And what are they doing? Even if it's 2 people, 3 people, 5 people, whatever it is, okay, what are they doing? They're getting a list of all of the different, educational, what would you call them? Different districts, okay? A school would cover a certain area. Okay, you start with the grammar schools, and you would get the information on the board when the next board is meeting is coming up, and you'll get the area that it covers. When I think of the word, I'll say what it is, but I can't think of it at the moment. But it's a specific area for each educational district. Let's call it that. So, this school district, that's what it is. This school district covers this area. This school district covers that area, and so on. And how many school districts do you have within the county? And you start making that list, and then you start getting the information. When's the next board meeting? How often do they meet? So on and so forth. And you put all this on a spreadsheet. You gather all this information, and that's what the board should be busy doing right now. Because you want to be 3 months from now, you want to be at that point where you can now deal with the problem. But anyway, you get all of this information on a spreadsheet. You make a decision on which school district you're going to deal with first. And you go down to a place called Real Property. It's in the county building. And you can find the addresses that will be listed out and broken up in many different ways. And one of the ways they break things up is the school districts, okay? And they break it up in lots of different ways. So you'll get the list, all the addresses of all the people that live in that particular school district. And we'll put up together probably a nice short letter, maybe be done on maybe a big postcard or something very simple, and which we'll talk about. Well, and again, you know, once we put that together, people are free to do it however they want, okay? But basically what it should say is to let the people know, we're a group of concerned people, citizens, whatever you want to call yourself, here in this county or this school district, I would do, not the county, but within this school district. And because you're going to do this with every school district. And we're not too happy with the educational system, the way it's working and the things that they're teaching our children, because they teach about, wokeism or whatever they call that, and communism and all the other isms. And they're not teaching the Constitution. Children are totally ignorant to American history. They don't know what the common law is. They don't know anything about the Constitution. They don't know what founding fathers. They don't know anything. And there are other subjects maybe they're not learning. Civics, of course, being another one, which is also part of the process anyway. So anyway, you put together this letter basically saying that we're a group of people. These are the problems we're seeing. Maybe you see others. We're having a meeting, a search a date. Give them the next committee date, and you invite them there. And once they get there, you'll get a lot of people to respond. And I'll tell you, by the time you end this process, you're going to pick up a whole bunch of membership at that point, because then they're going to see and understand what you're doing. And they're going to see the power and the authority of it. And they're going to see the solution to save this republic in the process that you're doing once they see it. And you can print out a copy of the Committee of Safety Handbook. And, you print that right out it's a PDF copy. You can get it right up online and just print it out. Or you can go purchase a bunch of the handbooks and hand them out. But that could be a little expensive. In the future, when we get enough funding, we'll go order, 250,000 handbooks of this kind and that kind and the other kind. And then we can sell them super cheap, maybe 60, 70 cents a piece or something, maybe even less than that. But anyway... So you get these people to come in, and you have a nice discussion, and you make a list of things. And when they come to the meeting, if your meeting starts at 7, you let it be known, okay, the meeting's starting now at 7 o'clock. We're going to spend the next 15 minutes on old business, and then we're going to move into the business of the night, which is to discuss the problems with the board, the educational board in this particular school district, and how we are planning to fix this problem. And then you go through your protocol. There's a protocol of what you do the first 15 minutes of your meeting, You start off with a prayer and a pledge of allegiance. You pass the can around if that's what you're doing, unless you're collecting dues. And as you're doing that, the new people introduce themselves. It's got 5 minutes of whatever that's going on. Then you open up old business. First off, you read the minutes of the last meeting, which should be a short version. It could be a long version in a record, but it's a short version. And the minutes are approved. You might discuss real quick. Each one of the committees will come up and give and at this point you don't have too many committees, so there's not going to spend a lot of time on this yet. But maybe the school district committee might just come up and say, spend a couple of minutes updating on what they're doing, where they're at, and so on and so forth. And then after that, you would then move over to the new business, okay, at hand. Maybe at that point, that committee's working. They already got their marching orders. They know what they're going to do, so you don't have to go through instructions for them anymore. So then the next part of that meeting, which is the remainder of the time, is the discussion of the problem with the schools, and in particularly that particular school district. And you'll be repeating this in every school district. But anyway, you discuss the problems of the school. And by the end of the meeting, you come down to the solution. Okay, this is what we want the board to do. This is what they're doing, and this is what we want them to do. And you list out all these things, and you get one person who will be the speaker. Okay, now you then announce the date and the time of the next board meeting, and you hope that everyone's going to be there. And I'll tell you what, there probably more than what came to that meeting will probably be there, because they'll probably bring friends and family or whatever. You will fill that hall up wherever they're having that meeting. Okay, and everybody has to be respectful, because there's a process we're going to go forward, and it's a process of law. It's due process. So you get your chance to talk to the board. You come up to the mic, the person who is going to represent the whole meeting, and you're going to lay out the problems in a nice, methodical, polite, and calm fashion. This is the problem we see, and this is how we feel the solution could be taken. And this is what we want taught in school. And we're not asking, we're telling you. Because, you know, we're the masters, you're not the masters. And now the board will either agree with you or not. They probably won't. For many different reasons. And I don't even want to go into why they might not agree with you. But in any event, they may not agree with you. They probably won't. And that's where the sheriff comes in hand. Because with the sheriff being there, and they're not going to do the will of the people, then you serve to them what's called a quo vanto, which is pretty much the bond for the wins thing, but it's done in a legal way. It's done in a different way, and it's done under code, U.S. code. They have to respond. They don't have a choice. And you give it to the sheriff, and the sheriff serves them, and then he writes papers of the serving, okay, that these people, everyone on the board will serve this paper. They have 10 days. To come up with their bonds, their oath, and their financials. 10 days. And if they don't come up within 10 days, they forfeit their seat. Everything is laid out specifically inside of Coahuanto, which has enforcement through U.S. codes. Okay, so there's a U.S. code and a process which is used through a Coahuanto, and then after 10 days, give them 12 or 13 or 14, give them 15 days, give them a little more time. And they don't respond, then you remove them from the seat. You send them a letter that they've been removed from the seat because they failed to comply, and to give them the U.S. code. And if you have to, you take it down to the state court there in your county, and you file the papers and enforce it that way. That'll cost you some money. It really shouldn't, but because they're charging for justice, you may have to pay it. Whenever I pay it, I always demand it back when I get in court, because it's supposed to be free. Not that they respond positively. And I am working on a process to go around this, so you don't have to pay. And once I work that out completely, you know, I'll put that out for people to learn also and do the same thing. But anyway. Then if they don't do the right thing, like I said, they're going to be removed from their seat. And then anyone can take their seat for the remainder of their term as a board member, and you can execute the proper things. And that's how it works. That's government by consent. And you could do that with the school board. You can do that with the town board. You could do it with any of the boards under any situation. That's how you bring local government back under control. There's also a process to do this with your congressmen and your Senate, to put them back under the authority of the people, government by consent. That's what the book is about. Then there's also the same thing, on your county level. So you got your towns, your villages, your cities, your county, your state, and then, of course, control through your congressmen on the federal level. And you get enough counties doing it, we control the whole process. You know, Jefferson said, we don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority that participates. And the majority that's participating right now are the committee men that are under the thumb of party bosses, who are under the thumb of other party bosses going right up to the national level, who are under the thumb, ultimately, of the New World Order. You know, the powers that be, whatever you want to call them. And therein lies the problem. But we have to take control of this. And once we get enough counties doing it within a state, you're going to take control of your state. Once we get enough counties doing this throughout the United States, we're going to take control of a federal government. And we can start right away, at least with our representatives going into the federal level. You know, and again, on the state level can be rather quickly, especially if you're, you know, trying to get other committees of safety going in the counties next door, because you should be inviting people outside your county to come in to see what we're doing. And then at the end of the meeting, you want to get pulled together all the people that came in that were from other counties. Of course, there'll be a sign-in sheet, so you'll have their name, their phone number, their email, and the county that they're in. And then you can talk with them about, hey, you know, were you guys interested in doing a committee of safety in your county? We'll help you out and make the connection. Get them to National Liberty Alliance. You see, one of the big problems we're having now, again, it's because we don't have enough volunteers to work with us to solve these problems. But hopefully we'll get enough soon and then eventually go professional and we won't have to, then we'll really get business going. That's when we'll have critical mass. But one of the problems is people get a little bit of information of what we're doing and then they go off and then they don't connect with us to really learn everything that they need to learn. Every committees of safety should be encouraging every one of their people to go get an education. They don't, you know, again, online, go underneath Education Starts Here. Click on that and follow the breadcrumb trails. I mean, ultimately, it's a pretty simple process. And we list out all of the different courses we have. Most of them are free. And so people could take all the free courses, and that's sufficient. Of course, they should want to do more, and they should go deeper. But it's up to them. But certainly the leadership of your committees of safety should want to go as deep as possible. You need to have someone there that really understands the court system. It's called due process. And you got to understand the court system. And the key thing about this whole thing is, you know, your heritage is in the law. That's where your heritage is found. And your inheritance is liberty. And you cannot have liberty without knowing what your heritage is. And that's what National Liberty Alliance is all about, to teach people their heritage, to understand that we're the lawmakers, to understand that the state can prosecute no one without first asking the people if it's okay. And that's an indictment. Right now they control the grand juries. So they get their ham sandwich, so to speak, which is an insult. We should really be insulted about that, okay? That tells us that there's no justice because they get their ham sandwich. Okay, but anyway, you know, they still have to come to the people to ask. And we have to say yay or nay. Okay, that's number one. The other thing is if we send them, if they do get indicted to go into court, well, we the people decide. We decide the facts, whether they're innocent or guilty. We decide the law. We can nullify any statute they put into there. We can agree or disagree with certain things. So we get to decide the law, and we get to decide the penalty with an eye on restitution. Right now, because of ignorance, we don't do those things. Government has taken total control. The Bar Association has stolen the whole process from us. They've stolen our political process. They've stolen our judicial process. They've taken our education. They've destroyed even our religious institutions. They've destroyed everything. They brought statutes and they destroyed our medical system. They have destroyed America, okay? And they don't even realize it because they're the minions of the New World. They're taught all this stuff in school when they know nothing, and they think this is the truth and this is the way America is and this is how things work, and the whole thing's a lie. We have to find the truth. Again, that's what National Liberty Alliance teaches. So when you're building a committee of safety, it's imperative, it's important that you get an education. And an education, you know, people are working, they got a lot of problems, a lot of stress, things are going on, maybe they don't have a lot of time, that's okay. Put an hour a day into it. You can, if saving this nation is important to you, then you should be putting at least an hour a day into learning about how things work. To learn what your heritage is, to be able to defend your liberty. Because if you don't know your heritage and you don't know due process, you cannot defend your liberty. You cannot have government by consent. So let's not put the cart before the horse. And we have a lot of committees of safety that don't realize this, that are starting up. We haven't made contact with them yet to try to bring them onto the rail, the proper way to do things. And again, National Liberty Alliance has no intentions to give marching orders to anyone. We believe that a national authority or a statewide authority is nothing more than collectivism, where ultimately at the end of the day, one person really decides what goes on, or a small group of people really decide what's going on. That's not the way to do it. That's the way it's working right now. But it's not the way the people should be doing it. It all starts on the grassroots, and the whole thing is getting educated, communicating with each other, and getting educated and organizing. And then the people themselves at the grassroots level, once they have information and they see the problem, then they deal with it. They deal with however they want to deal with it. But it's important to come together on a national meeting at least once a month to look at least one issue every month that's a national problem and talk about it with all the other committees, okay, and say, hey, we have a solution. We suggest doing this. And we lay it out. Someone else has a solution. They can write a paper, and we'll post it. People can read it, and when they come on, they can introduce us that solution. There could be more than one way to deal with the problem. Could be two or three ways. But then they bring what they bring this information back to their committees. As a matter of fact, we record every one of these meetings, so you can just go up down and download the MP3, and then you can isolate the particular area of discussion, you know, that you want to share with your meeting with the people, and you can send it out to all of your membership. You can send it out by email, a copy of the MP3, and say, hey, listen to it before you come in, because this is what we're going to be discussing. And then you get right down to business and deal with that national problem. How do we, in this county, in this state, and in this county, want to deal with this problem? And it's up to you. You're free and independent. But if we lay out a good logical plan and nobody else has a better plan, well, you would think you would execute that plan. And if someone else has a better plan that you think, or you have a better plan, that's fine too. But we're doing something to solve the problem, and we're working together. You know, united we stand, and divided we will fall. And we have fallen because we are divided. And we have no knowledge whatsoever on how to deal with these problems. People are clueless, and it's not their fault. They were not taught these things in school. They're supposed to have been, but they have not been. They've removed this education from the school. They've removed the Bible. The Bible was the centerpiece of our school. The American education was built around the Bible. And now the Bible is like, you can't even talk about that in school, you know. And they claim it's against the law to do these things, you know, get rid of God, keep him out, he's a problem, we don't need him, man knows better, we'll figure it out, we don't need God. And that's the attitude of these people, and people are confused, and they don't know what to do. So anyway, my point that I'm going through all this, and I'm hoping that people are getting at least a reasonably good picture out of what I'm trying to say here, dealing with a problem and dealing with many, many other problems we have, but we're going to lay it all out. And you're going to find them posted up on our website, and you're going to find them with a meeting at some point of the problem so that we can brainstorm it together across the nation and try to work together the best we can across the nation. And that's the only solution. But if we try to jump ahead, you can't get anywhere. If you don't learn your ABCs, you can't learn to read. Okay, so that's exactly what happens when you come in with no knowledge of the situation and jump right in it, and maybe you see something over here. Well, let's try this. Hey, pull it up. Well, why don't you, if you can find a place that has gone through the hard knocks, that has gone through the research, that has looked at many, many different ways to do something, okay, and discovered the best way to do it or how our founding fathers did it, and you lay it out, well, why not go there and be successful right away instead of trying to reinvent the wheel? So I'm sure you see the problem here, and I'm hoping that other committees of safety that are being built, maybe some of them are here tonight, maybe their first time or whatever, and they're realizing the problem, and the solution is education. The solution to every problem we have is education. The slaves are slaves for one reason and one reason only, because they don't read. They're ignorant. That's why slaves are slaves. And they have kept us slaves. Yeah, we read, yeah, but we read only what they want us to read. We know and get the news of what they want us to know. We learn what they want us to learn. And that's that. And so they're keeping the slaves ignorant. And as long as we remain ignorant, we remain under their thumb. You know, knowledge is power. And all it takes is knowledge to take this whole thing back. No shots fired, no violence involved, just knowledge. And we could take it all back. You know, there is nothing wrong with the structure of our government. It is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's all there. It's intact. The problem is it's run by a bunch of criminals. It's organized crime that runs America. And when people start to realize that, this is not just a little statement that, yeah, a lot of criminals. No, it is organized crime. They control everything in our government. They control our administration on the federal level. They control our legislators. They control our courts. 100% controlled by criminals. And the same thing is in every state. Yeah, there may be a few people here or there that are able to fight them off a little bit, but they can't really get the job done because they can't get enough knowledge out for the people. They don't report the news and the real stuff, so people don't know. There's only one way. Only one way to solve this problem. And National Liberty Alliance has laid that out very, very clearly and will continue to lay it out. If there's anyone out there doing anything remotely of what we're doing, we'd like to meet with them and join up with them, or them join up with us. In other words, work together, because that's why we're National Liberty Alliance. And we recently made a strong connection with We the People. We've been working on that for quite some time. Now we've got a real good deal working with them. We'll start to talk a little more about that in the near future. Matter of fact, Robert Schultz is going to be talking down here in Poughkeepsie, New York, at some organization that invited him. And I think I might be talking at that particular meeting also. But if not, I think I'm going to be able to get an invite to go talk to those people also, to bring the message of NLA and how we can work with We the People organization that Robert Schultz put together, and how we can save America working together. All we need is a few good people, and good people are educated people. And that's what we'll do. And by the way, they're teaching our children, and they've taught us already, many of us anyway, not to read. Nobody picks up a book no more. You need to read a book. Look, the internet is great for research, great for a lot of things and picking things up and reading things, but you got to read a book. And we got lots of books, free books, as a matter of fact, on National Liberty Alliance, a lot of them, free books. And people need to read, because that's where knowledge comes from reading. They're teaching us to tweet. They're teaching us to, we need to get immediate satisfaction on whatever we're doing. And if we're not, we move away to go to another place, move to the next step or whatever. We need to work on this. And our children are being totally destroyed. And I really appreciate the problem that you're bringing up here tonight, because our children are being decimated. It may be so bad to some, they may not ever be able to really be brought back to a right frame of mind because of the immoralities that are being placed upon these young children who are not ready for it. Even where a young child can go get a sex change, I can't even believe that that's true, but I'm hearing that it's true. This is serious problems. And people of America need to wake up. And anybody that's listening to my voice right now and hearing this message, you have a duty to step up and do something. You have a duty to get an education. You have a duty to join or start a committee of safety in your county. You have a duty to go save the children in your county from these psychopaths, and to take our nation back and bring us back into a common law, a natural law, common law republic, which is what and who we are as a people. We've lost that. So anyway, I strongly suggest, we got your phone number. Is Ed here? Ed, take a note of this lady here and her phone number. Maybe you can give her a call during the week here and talk to her a little bit. And let's set a meeting up as soon as possible. I'm talking like Wednesday, Thursday, whenever. Let's get a meeting, whoever we got, as far as it's on our district leadership. And let's get together and get the final meeting going, and let's get active. And let's start off with LaDonda. I think I'm pronouncing her name right. here, that's in the queue right now. Excuse me?
If she would send an email to ed@nationallibertyalliance.org, then I can return all the state members and the phone numbers.
Okay. Well, again, you see her number in here? Write it down.
I don't see it.
Oh, you don't see it?
No.
Okay. Well, Jan or Terry probably sees it, and they can drop it in your Skype or whatever. And but give her a call in the next few days, and let's try to help her, along the process and the plan, so that they can save their children in their county. And I really, really am glad to hear this call tonight. But let me open your mic up now so you can respond. And remember, I speak to myself first. I'm not calling anyone ignorant or anything, but we are. We are ignorant. We have to admit to it. You know, I'm not a rocket scientist, so as far as that particular science is concerned, I'm ignorant. I'm totally ignorant to it. Well, it's the same thing with how to have government by consent. People are totally ignorant to it. Some people, very, very few people, may have some knowledge of our founding fathers, unadulterated. And a lot of people I heard, meet that do have a little knowledge of the founding fathers and different things. It's adulterated. It's screwed up. They have some lies in there that they've been fed. And we need to get the remedy. The remedy of all this fake stuff is the truth. That's the remedy. As truth is self-evident, just keep looking and looking and looking. It'll either prove itself or prove that it's not true. One or the other. It takes a little time. That's all it takes. All right, let me unmute you. You got the mic back.
Okay, I'm here. Thank you. And thank you for all of your advice. I went on NLA as soon as we started this. And I researched everything I could research on committees of safety. And one of the items that was under committees of safety was the bonds for the win. And that's why we proceeded in that manner.
And they're doing a good job. We've sent some people there that have some problems and they want to deal with it right away, but not as a committee of safety. I mean, I don't want to discourage anyone from doing anything that's helpful. So I don't want to discourage anyone, but I do want to help them to be successful. And I do have to tell them the truth of the process and what's going to happen and what they should expect to happen. Because I'm going to tell you right now, they will be snotty. They'll stand up in that board, and they will just be snotty to you and just move on because you don't mean a pile of nothing to them, because they know what's best and what needs to be done. You don't. You haven't got a clue. That's their attitude, okay? And then people don't know what to do. And I understand. Yeah. That's the problem. People don't know what to do. How do I deal with this insanity? Well, we're going to teach you if you're willing to learn. And I really hope that people that are down in their committees of safety are coming to get their education, because there's nothing worse than a bunch of ignorant people to the knowledge of how things work and going up against people who don't have no knowledge either. And you're not going to get anywhere. You don't even know who the wrongdoers are, because you can't see clearly enough to know who the wrongdoers are, because you don't know what wrongdoing is. You know the consequence of some of it, but you don't necessarily can recognize it to say, whoa, you can't do that. Stop. We can stop them. But, united we stand, divided we fall. Power is in the knowledge of the people. And it's all written down. I mean, look, we have authorities that we've laid out to show the authorities of the people. So it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Ed will give you a call and talk to you and then try to help you along. If you're looking at, or you're coming in on a phone, you don't have a, you're not able to see my desktop, are you?
No, I'm on my phone.
Okay, because if you have a smartphone, you can get an app, and you can see our desktop at the same time. Or if you come on the computer, you're on your browser or your app that you come in on, you'll see our desktop. And on the desktop, I got open up right now. I found this under Starter Committee of Safety on the blue bar. You highlight that. You come down to Handbooks, Videos, and Tools. And on that page, I think it's the third one down, it says COS, Committee of Safety, Organizing Handbook. That's the one you want. You open that book up, 66 pages. Instructions to follow. Start from the beginning and work through. Ed will try to assist you any way he can. He'll get you a list of people in your state. He'll help you in information to try to get your first seminar going. And we've laid all that out also. If you're on the same page, if you come down, we have here Committee of Safety Organized Instructional PDF documents. We have your Committee of Safety seminar instructions. You've got videos and PowerPoints. We can do it all for you, or you can download the PowerPoints and read off the PowerPoints yourself. We have a monthly meeting protocol right underneath that. And all of this is in the handbook, too. Okay?
Yeah, we
have lots and lots of videos for county meetings. Every county meeting, you should have some kind of a topic. If you're not having a special meeting like with parents and stuff to talk about, you know, going together to the board or something like that, then you want to do an educational thing. You want to maybe talk about the law and equity. Do people know what law and equity is? It's important for them to know that. You play this 40-minute clip of law and equity, and then you discuss it. We have a lot of stuff here, a lot of stuff. So anyway, and people need to do whatever they think they got to do. But you have to have the knowledge to do it. That's the big thing. You got to get the knowledge. If you don't have knowledge of due process, you got a problem. You're not going to be successful in anything. Because, the remedy of lawlessness is the law. Okay, anything else?
No, that's all. Thank you very much.
I appreciate your call. I'm glad you called because this was really an important message to get out. So thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, all right, we'll take our next person here. Damien, it looks like. You got the mic, Damien. Go right ahead. Actually, you're not unmuted. Let me try unmuting you. How's now? You should be unmuted now. What state are you in, Damien? Well, you're muted on your side, it looks like.
I'm in Virginia.
Okay, Damien from Virginia. Go right ahead.
I was going to say something earlier when you asked the question that, yes, you were getting the reverb, but it's gone now. And then on New Zealand, it's Maori, and on Australia, it's Aborigines.
Oh, okay. Yes, Aborigines. That name I'm more familiar with.
So,
all right, anything else?
That was my comment, I guess, for right now, at least.
Okay, thanks for the correction. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay, Bob Brew, you got the mic. Go right ahead. Well, let me see. Maybe you don't. Well, you do, yeah. Go right ahead, Bob. You got the mic. What state you from, Bob Brew?
Hey, Dan. I'm from Texas.
Okay, Bob from Texas, go right ahead.
I just sent Ed Strain a one-sentence comment.
Okay.
About it's kind of the golden rule for holding office, and that is anyone violating the laws of nature or the laws of nature's God is violating the Constitution and is therefore disqualified from holding office.
Well, that's absolutely true. And there's numerous ways to remove people from office, okay? But the first thing you want to do is let the person know the error of their way, as long as it's not a criminal act. And they need to correct themselves. And if they refuse to do it, we can recall them. That's one of the powers of the Committee of Safety, to be able to recall anyone from office. Anyone. And if they committed a crime, and not only, coming outside of their jurisdiction could be considered a crime, depending on what they've done when they did that. And if it is a crime, we're rebuilding the whole process for the juries, okay? So we're getting building jury administrators in every county where the people orientate the jury. So we're educating these jury administrators in order to take on a full-time job in the courthouse on the state level, the state courthouse there in your county, okay, to take on the job as administrators for the jury. They get to orientate them. They're disconnected from the political process, disconnected from any political parties. They're disconnected as far as being an employee of the state, the county, or whatever, although they do pay their salary, and we have a plan on how that works. But they get to orientate the jury and give us real juries, and that's powerful. And you see, you will have in your committee of safety a judicial committee. And there'll be certain things that committee will do and look at and investigate or whatever. And then they will bring issues to the jury administrators should there be someone breaking the law that's in power and that you think that maybe they should be indicted. And then the jury administrators, they would have the power and the authority because that's the law. This is the way common law is set up, by the way. Those jury administrators will have the power and the authority to make a phone call to those individuals and let them know the error of their way coming now from a more powerful position and expect that they're going to, you know, correct themselves and to do what has to be done. And as long as it's not a criminal act, if it's a criminal act, then they may deal with that differently. And, of course, if they're not obedient to them, then they bring it before the full grand jury and ask for an indictment. And once the person is indicted and go through the legal process, now they're removed from office. You see, that is the process and the power of the people. There's two power structures, political and judicial. And the political one is to remove these people by recall, and the judicial one is to remove these people by indictment. So this is government by consent at its most powerful way.
That's the third sentence after the first on the first page of U.S. law. The first sentence is laws of nature, creation, and the laws of nature's guide, the Bible.
Right. And you find that in the Declaration of Independence. And the Declaration of Independence was a covenant. People don't know this. People don't realize this. Read through it very carefully. Go into the Bible and read about covenants God made with people. And then read the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence was a covenant with God. And no one can break that. You see, at the end of the day, judgment is coming in this world because God says he judges nations in this world. It will be judged. And I perceive it's coming soon. But in any event, you can't go up against God's people. As God said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and repent, I'm paraphrasing a lot of this, then I will hear them and I will heal their land. And I do think that that's what's happening now. I think people are starting to recognize, at least we're trying to teach this at National Liberty Alliance, that our real power is in our relationship with our God, and God, being his children, will protect us. And it may be a while before he does anything. Things sometimes have to get real hot, but it's coming. And anybody who reads the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, they can see all the victories that God's people had without even lifting a hand because God took care of it. You're absolutely right. And it is in the Declaration of Independence, exactly what you're talking about.
Tomorrow, God willing, I will be speaking to our county judge and our commissioner's court about they permitted something that is a violation of natural law and the laws of nature's guide, the Bible, when they permitted a gay pride parade and a big fair on the square. And anytime we're promoting sodomy, which is against the law in all 50 states, then whoever permitted that behavior and encouraged it by giving them a permit should be put on notice that they would be removed from office for violating their oath. And, you know, this doesn't really have to be real complicated. I think localism is key. And I think, you know, you guys are the heartbeat
for America, for everybody that is localized in their community. And the way I am localized, I got all the voters in my precinct. There's like 3,000 voters. And so I've got their names, addresses, phone numbers, and even emails for most of them to aggregate locally with people that are next door or maybe a few hundred yards away or even a mile away. Is about the size of my precinct's about 1 square mile. But it's organizing those people under the umbrella of NLA and the heartbeat of what you're doing with the education that we can utilize to enforce these violations of God-given unalienable rights and the laws of the Bible, which sodomy is, or if they are introducing, like Target is doing the same thing by exposing children to all this gay paraphernalia, is meant to just groom them and envelop them in the laws of the devil. So, I get encouraged every Monday when I get on the phone and listen to you. It's a real blessing, and it re-energizes me to do God's work in the public square. And so the things right now are, the permitting of sodomy and the Targets and all these other companies that have come out, they are violating law, God's law, which the Constitution was written to protect all of those principles in the Declaration. So we can identify the people that are violating their oath of office and have no business being seated in any position of power.
No, amen. There is a law, a common law, and I remember hearing about it when I was a kid, and it may be a statutory also, maybe in states, I don't know, but maybe not, but nevertheless, it's the law, and it was applied back when I was a child. I remember some things about this, and it's called corrupting the morals of a minor. It's against the law to corrupt the morals of a minor. And bringing these kind of things and issues and sexualizing our children is clearly a crime in common law. There's no getting away from it. We don't need a statute to tell us that. We know that to be true. I think it was Eisenhower who said, you'll never stop, how do you put it? You'll never stop sin by creating a law. You're just not going to do it. You can't stop sin. So we can't stop sin between two individuals, whatever it is that they do behind closed doors. That's totally all their business. But don't flaunt it out into the streets. Don't corrupt our children. Don't come out with these gay pride parades, because that's immoral. And our children are watching it. And it's problematic. And especially when they take it into the schools, it's definitely problematic. It's evil. And it's up to God to work on these individuals, to work on their hearts, to change their ways or not. And whatever that is, that's between them and God, and the penalty of sin is death. And if we don't have that relationship to get that forgiveness and that confession of that we're sinners, and we don't have that relationship to work on those problems that we have, then we got a big problem with God, and I would be shaking in my boots if I was in that position. Gay pride, these people, they're just shoving it down our throats, and it's definitely unlawful for that to take place, because, again, it's just breeding immorality, especially to the children who view this. People want to do things like this behind their doors or in private. That's all their business. We can't get involved with that. But I agree with what you're saying. It's a major problem, and we have to do something. And these people need to be prosecuted when they're bringing this stuff into schools and demoralizing and sexualizing our children.
We can do something by being Christian soldiers.
Well, that we can do.
Showing up in the public square, the commissions, the city councils, and the school boards, and highlighting how they are violating their oath of office.
Well, we could do one step better than that, though. We could do one step better than that. We can remove them from office. Okay?
Right.
That's what we can
right.
do. We can indict them for participating in the corruption of the morals of the minors. So there's lots of things we can do to just shut them right down. You know, we can protest. I don't want to say we shouldn't, because, of course, that is a tool to use. But the solution is really power and authority. And people have the power and the authority within themselves if they get the knowledge of it and they work together. United we stand, divided we fall, coming together, particularly in a committee of safety, and you can bring these people into subjection. You know, remember, again, Jefferson said, when the people fear the government, you have tyranny. When the government fears the people, you have liberty. And that's what we got to bring it to. They got to fear us from the standpoint not of fear of violence, but fear of losing their job, because we can take them out of office faster than we put them into office. We can do that. And people just need to learn it. That's all.
And the way you do that is using your committees of safety.
Absolutely.
Locally with our neighbors.
A bad judge gets to stay in power in good behavior. That's what the Constitution says. And what's good behavior and what's bad behavior? Well, good behavior is being obedient to your oath and not going outside your jurisdiction and authorities and being just, especially with a judge. A bad behavior is someone's doing the opposite. They're breaking their oath. They're not being just in their courts. And the process for that, and I never see it done, And we have to press upon this between the people that we've elected to put in office that they need to do this job. The legislators have the power and the authority, okay, to deal to deal with the houses, both houses, the legislators. They have the power to get rid of these people, okay? They can impeach them. And if they impeach them, then they go to trial in the Senate. And if they're found guilty, then they're cast out. And on top of that, there could be criminal procedures that could take place after that if it's necessary. But that's the power. That's the way it's supposed to work. Congress should have long time ago gotten rid of a lot of these judges. But they've been paid for already. They're sold and paid for. A long, long time ago, we lost our legislators. And you have a few good people in there to get a few good things from time to time. But generally speaking, it's nothing but corruption. And it's controlled, again, by the powers that be. And we have to take it back. Once we get things back, these people need to do their job. They need to remove these judges through impeachment when they are just not doing the right thing. And if they don't do that, there's always the solution of the people. We can indict them. And if they're an elected judge, we can recall them or indict them. So this is the power of the people. But we have to be just and righteous about that, too. You know, that's another problem we'll have. People are very angry. I know I'm very angry. But my anger is controlled. It's controlled by morality. My morality is controlled by, you know, my relationship with God. And it's controlled by knowledge. Okay? And there's a process. And that's where we can get the solution. And so if people go in to try to do things without knowledge, and they do it through anger, it's just as bad as going after the people that they're going after, because you have to do it with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. We have to know that we're doing the right thing. We have to know absolutely who the guilty ones are, you know. So we have to pursue this very carefully, and we have to think about it and talk about it, and then execute what we come to conclusions, what we come to decide. But we have to be careful, and we have to do it with an understanding that what we're doing is right. And you got to know when they're breaking the law. You can't know that unless you've read your Constitution and you understand it.
Well,
so,
and read the Declaration, specifically
the first. Well, that's the foundation of American law. It's the first founding document. That's who we are. You want to know who we are? Read the preamble to the Declaration of Independence. That's who we are supposed to be.
And we can do this fairly quickly, I think, on the most local of levels, using your committees of safety, and maybe what I might suggest is just walk in your neighborhood, and anybody that has a flag up is probably going to be of your persuasion, and they could become members of, you know, actually knocking on doors is the most effective way to do it. And I'm sort of, I'm going to be walking around with a wheelchair so I can sit down where I go. But I think we can do that locally, finding the people locally, and then aggregating to go to the commissioner's court, the state council, and the school board. For, you know, this pornography that's in the school libraries and the things that they're teaching is just utterly an abomination. And anything that is an abomination is a violation of the Constitution. And in tech, we can do that with our elected officials with this Rule 44, and we censure them. And we have had a number of counties that have popped up to censure our Speaker of the House. Or, you know, he's just so egregiously evil by taking our votes and our legislators' votes that have raised him to a position of power as the Speaker of the House, but then turning over committee chairmanships to these Democrats that are just totally opposed to God's law, which is the basis of all of our law. So there's procedures to do that in Texas being done at this moment. But what we really need is like your committees of safety, but I would like to see them, you know, really localized in precincts. Every precinct, how many precincts are there in, there's 3,000 counties in America, and there's a precinct for every 3,000 people.
Yeah, so I used to remember the numbers of that, but I don't remember, you know, nationwide. But I do know my county has 249 election districts, therefore they have 249 committeemen.
But you know, I think each of those committeemen needs to get their flag waivers, you know, in their neighborhood to communicate the committees of correspondence. And
we got to be careful. I don't know if you're talking about the statutory committeemen or the committeemen from the Committee of Safety. You know, because once we get a committee of safety going in a county, and especially when you start to grow with power because you start to correct these boards and you start to grow a lot there, what's going to happen is the committeemen are going to hear about the committee of safety, and I think a lot of those people will leave and come over and work with the committee of safety, because a lot of people are really in it for the good. They really want to try to do something, but it takes a while before they figure that they find out that they're being duped by party bosses. But they do eventually figure it out, so they have high attrition rates. But I believe that parties will fall away once committees of safety take power and authority, because a republic can never survive with political parties. You know, George Washington probably gave the best speech on this, maybe two-thirds or to three-quarters of his speech was about the problems with political parties and the destruction that they create, and no republic can survive political parties. The purpose of a political party in a republic is to destroy it, and that's what they've done. And this is all this was created by the bar, by the way, because they statutorized them and they put things together in such a way to have party bosses that never lose their power. You know, because committeemen are supposed to be reelected, and they're not even elected. They think they are, but they're not. But they're supposed to be elected every 2 years. So the whole system, just like Congress, is supposed to clear out and all new people coming in. But it's the same people over and over again. So.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to move to the next person here because it's getting late. So appreciate the call, though. Thank you. Okay. Hang on a minute. I got to see if someone at my door or something. Hang on. Okay, sorry, false alarm. All right, thanks a lot. We got to take our next caller, though. Appreciate it, though. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
All right. Okay, let's see. I don't know why this thing isn't working. It's supposed to open up the next call. Let me try it again. Okay, there it is. Okay, a wireless caller, 417, you got the mic. What's your first name and your state?
My name is Steven, and I'm from Missouri.
Steve from Missouri. Go right ahead.
Okay, so, well, before I forget this, because I had fraud on my account, and I think the next month, I won't be able to dial in. So my first, before my real question, is I need to know how to put a new Visa card number. I don't see it on your site. So I've signed up for a certain amount of money per month, but that card, if you try to access it, it will not go through. So can you direct me there? That would be my first question, but I do have a question.
All right, well, let me do this. I'll take your phone number down, and hang on a minute. Let me...
John, a lot of people have that question. All you need to do is to go to the website, and above the banner on the right, you'll
see. Hang on. I'm on the phone, but I'm also on my Chromebook, and so above the what banner?
Above the blue banner at the top on the right, it says donate now.
Okay.
Just click that. And then you can sign up, become a monthly donor, and you can cancel.
I'm already a monthly donor. I'm already. Okay.
Yeah. Click it, and it'll come up, and I'll give you the option to cancel. So just cancel out and then redo whatever you want to do, your donation and your credit card.
Right. I think you could do that through my account also. That might be a better way to do it. I was misunderstanding what he was saying, but okay. If you click on my account and you come in and then go and you click on, subscriptions, okay, and that's where you'll be able to correct it there. So that's another way to get in there. So,
okay. All right. So my question, so I started out about 7 years ago with Eddie Craig, Anna Von Reich, David Strait, UR Law. Once I found you, I just, other than UR Law, I go to them once in a while, and they use a lot of subrogation. But I bought your book, Court Access and the Common Law, and I started out the front page and just working through. And then I had a situation. I've been displaying DOT exempt plates for about 2 years for non-commercial use only, and have had numerous law people that coming back from Florida during the hurricane, had one come up on me, and I'm sure he's riding my butt for about 3 minutes, and then he just flies on down the road. I passed a deputy sheriff doing 50, or at least 50, if not more, in a 35. I had to put my blinker and get in front of him. He went on down the road. Well, I knew eventually I would encounter some official that didn't know that we don't have to have driver's license, nor do we have to have license plates unless we're operating in commerce. And so I received got a ticket for failure to register. now, and I forget where, but I have my automobile in international common law, as well as my birth certificate. I've secured through my state my all capital letters name. So when I went to the first hearing, I asked the judge if I could enter the bar without entering into contract with him, and he just barked at me, "Who are you?" And I said, "Well, I answered to Stephen." And so through, he eventually came to this point, and he said, "So you're a sovereign citizen?" And I said, "Well, that's an oxymoron. I know that it really isn't, but a citizen under the 14th Amendment." So I'm trying to let him not enter into contract with him. Now, at the point I'm going to pass forward to make a long story longer, but to try to make it not as long. My last appearance, when I went into court, anyone who doesn't have an attorney, they send them to this room, and then they slowly bring them into the courtroom. But before you do that, you go up to and there's a clerk there or whoever they are, and they ask your name, and she says, "Well, I have two accounts." And I said, "No, ma'am, you don't. You have one account, and that's failure to register my vehicle." And she said, "Well, do you have any paperwork?" And I said, "Yes, I do, but I don't have it with me because I rushed out of the house. But I have paperwork showing that my car is in registered in international law and common law." And she got on the phone, and I'm sure she was calling the prosecutor's assistant inside the courtroom. And I said, "By the way, my birth certificate also is listed in common law and international." And so then when I went in, and the judge and stood before, went ahead and entered the bar, and the prosecuting attorney immediately said, "Your Honor, we are amending this, and we're not charging him with failure to register or failure to display license plates." Now, my understanding is that that police officer, which I had a stack of papers to show him and he wouldn't look at any of them, that police officer, he's the one that issued that ticket. And so my question is, how can a prosecuting attorney who was not there to witness anything just decide they're going to drop this? By the way, in Missouri...
Well, you're saying that the police officer wasn't in the courtroom. Is that what you're saying?
No. That was a pretrial, and this was a pretrial. And
I don't understand what that means. So what do you mean it's a pretrial? The officer was there or he wasn't there?
He was not there.
And
I don't know. In Missouri...
And they were looking for a plea.
Yes, and so this was about my third. This was about my third appearance, and I never entered a plea to begin with because I didn't want to enter into contract with him.
Let me just say a few things about what you're talking about, and if you want to pick up longer on this conversation, it'll have to be next week because we're coming to an end. We do have two people I'd like to try to get to, but here's the thing. We don't teach people to do any of those things, okay? They can if they want, but a lot of the processes that they use to do these things is kind of made up, and it's not that being made up is bad either. I understand the arguments that they have. I understand the plate problem. I understand the license problem. I understand all those things, but I would never drive without plates. I would never drive without a license. For two reasons, okay? Well, the main reason is I don't want to go to jail every time I turn around. I drive all over the place, and I travel here or there to go do different things.
Yes.
And I just haven't got the time to be arrested and go through those things.
Yes.
Now, I do get tickets from time to time. It's very rare now, but I do get tickets, and I decided not to pay tickets no more. You don't have to remove your license and get rid of your birth certificate and make the argument of the fraud that they have with the cap letters. I mean, I agree with all that. I understand that. But it doesn't get you anywhere, and everything they're doing is fraudulent and unlawful.
Yes.
It's a very, but there is the law that you can use to deal with this, and it's a very simple law. They don't. When you look into the jurisdictions of the court, okay?
Yes.
Whatever court you pulled into, go look into the jurisdiction, see what powers and authorities.
Yes.
What do they have? What personam jurisdiction do they have, and what subject matter jurisdiction they have? You will find that, first of all town courts, city courts, and village courts.
Would this you, is county.
I'm just telling you somehow these things work, though. Well, even in the county court, there's a problem there, and I can show you. But the thing is that most of the times the tickets are dealt in the town courts and village courts and even a city court. Unless the Constitution calls the city court a court of record, and it does do that in New York State. Other than that, I'm not aware. No other city in New York is called a court of record, just New York City courts. And I don't know what the constitutions of other states might be. Okay, so the bottom line is other courts are not courts of record, so they're incapable of giving you due process. Only a court of record can give you due process. So you can challenge the jurisdiction and move for a dismissal because they don't have the authority to give you, they don't have the ability to give you due process. The other thing and the other argument that could be made there is that because they're using statutes under commercial codes, okay, that's called an equity court. An equity court is only, can only, in order to have personam jurisdiction over you, you have to either be operating under commercial activities at the time that you're being pulled over and going into the courts for that problem, or you're working for a government agency and you're under regulations or statutes and codes. Okay.
Yes.
So you're not under that, and they're operating as an equity court, they don't have personam jurisdiction over you, so you just let them know that. Now, I spent a lot of time working different problems. I've been in courts where you go literally for a year. Every month they seem to pull you back. It's like they don't know what to do with you, and the arguments were. But I don't do that no more. And it's very simple. Last time I went into court, this is what I'd done, and I told them that you don't have jurisdiction. I had filed a paper of jurisdiction, challenging.
Was that quote,
No, it was just a paper challenging the jurisdiction, responding to the ticket they gave me.
Okay.
So when I went in, a couple of things that took place, but the main thing was that I told the judge that they don't have jurisdiction, and I'm not coming back to this court no more. If you set another date, I'm moving this to federal court for cause for denial of due process. And we went back and forth a little bit, and the judge and the prosecutor talked a little bit, where I couldn't hear what they were saying, and then they finally decided to just dismiss the case, because A, they probably read my paper at that point, okay? B, they started to realize, because I explained it to them, that this is an equity court that deals with a commercial problem in this particular case. It's a commercial code. I showed it on the ticket. Has nothing to do with me. I'm not operating commercially. And that was my position. And there's no need to go any further. They don't understand. Right. I don't think, especially in those level judges and even in the county level and maybe even a lot of the state level judges, they don't understand this cap letters and the name. They don't understand.
Okay.
All of these things that you're talking about, and it's a lot of work and exercise to go do the things that you have done. Okay.
Okay.
And I had only taken it to the level of writing a declaration concerning my person and filed it with the county clerk.
Is that an affidavit?
I did it in an affidavit form. But,
because I do have your book again, Common Access.
But we don't do any of those things. Okay. We just use the law. And call a fraud, okay? If you're in the IRS, if you're dealing with the IRS and you're in court, you lay out the fraud very simply,
and
teach that too.
I've done that. I've done that.
Yeah,
but
we lay it out using their words and their codes and their statutes. We show them their paperwork where I'm not liable, And that's and you okay. can find that in almost everything in court when they don't have the jurisdiction. You can always find it in there. It's all there.
Okay, so can I do this verbally, or will I need to file something?
If you go out here and I'm going to have to end the conversation so I can talk to the other two people.
Okay, yes,
but
sir.
You can come back next week and talk more.
Yes,
but
sir, I will.
Answer. Let me give you the answer, something you can look at.
Okay.
Are you looking at the website? You're able to see my desktop?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You highlight education starts here, okay? Come down to law, highlight law, and then come over and come to court forms and process. And I believe the only page that you can't get to unless you're a premier member, and a premier member is someone giving $5 a month or more. So.
Yes, I am.
But for those who don't see this page, that's why. But anyway, if you click on that page, then you'll find court forms, process, and instructions. And we give instructions on how to do a demand for oath and bond. We have a book here on land patents. I have not gone through this book, but it looks pretty good. I just breezed through it.
Okay.
We have instructions and forms for traffic court, how to file with them and respond to them, the process, instructions and forms to challenge the jurisdictions, instructions and forms to move your case to federal court for cause, instructions and forms to file a habeas corpus, how to move your court for enforcement, how to write a notice and demand, and then downloads of different materials and memorandums. And then we have some... Landmark, this doesn't seem to be an active link. I'll have to look at that. I don't know why. But in any event, I don't know why there's nothing. I'll have to check that out. But anyway, that's a page that may be helpful. But I will say this. If you don't understand due process, going into the court, okay? And due process starts with pleadings or responding to an accusation and they're bringing charges against you. That's where it starts.
Yes.
Okay,
and that was one of my questions. Where do I find that? Where do I find due process and to educate myself on that?
Well, we have a course. We have a live course going on right now, it is Court Access in the Common Law. Under Education Starts Here, you click on Court Access in the Common Law. That's a beginning, and you can fill out an application to join the course. It's a live course. It's ongoing right now. Everything is recorded, video recorded. So you can come in at any time. You'll get as much coming live as you'll get if you're coming in and watching it on video. And we do an open forum at the end of each session. And if the course is done with and you wanted to ask questions, you come to a Monday night program and ask the questions, and we'll answer them here.
Okay.
But if you go here and look at Education Starts Here, and like I said, to get to this page where you can join the course. Then what happens is once you join, you'll see two pages open up. One is the Court Access recorded video courses, which every course is recorded. And the other one under that is Court Access Table of Contents. And if you click on that, it gives you the table of contents of what we're teaching in the class, going from the introduction to the essentials of a court case. This is all the knowledge you kind of need to really have a reasonable understanding. You're not going to remember all this, but it's just... going through it to get an understanding, and then you use this as a reference when you write your papers and go into court and trial. You come back and use this as a reference. But it works through right through in the pleadings, the causes of actions, the defenses, the different motions involved in the course, how to write memorandums of law, the rules of the court, particularly rules of common law, and then ready for trial. And then we're going to do some cases that I've done, which we're going to use as examples to go through court case examples. So it's a very, very in-depth program and course. And through this course, you'll know more than a lawyer knows, at least more than most lawyers know. Case examples, like I said, we'll go through different cases examples and then go through, we have a lot of online resources. We also have some quick courses on Word. Because Microsoft, you have to know Microsoft Word, and you should know how the PowerPoints work. Because if you get to trial, you need Microsoft Word to write your papers, obviously. So the basics you need to understand. And then if you're going to go to trial, one of the most powerful tools you can use in trial is PowerPoint. So you should really learn PowerPoint. And So we have beginner courses on that, and you can get a lot more than that on out on YouTube. You can get very in-depth courses on all these things. So that's anybody. We suggest really everyone should take this course, because even if you don't intend on going into court, first of all, you never know if you'll ever land in court, and you need to understand what's going on. Understand what your lawyer's saying, what they're doing. If they're representing you right, you can't know unless you know the process. So there's a lot.
Yep.
But with that, I got to go because I got to cover the other two. But we can talk more next week if you want.
Okay. Yes, I'll be on next week. Thank you so much. I've been listening avidly, and thank you so much for what you're doing. God bless you, sir.
All right. Thank you for your kind words. Thank you, Steve. Okay, we're going to try to take a couple more calls. It's late and I got to go because I got to pick my son up from work, but maybe a minute or two, and I apologize. Wireless caller, 203, looks like Connecticut. First name and state, I guess, is Connecticut, right? 203, you got the mic. Wireless caller, mic is open. Last call for 203. You got the mic. Dan, South Carolina, it looks like. How you doing, Dan? Only got a minute.
Yes, sir. I will be very brief because this is late and we won't respect you and everyone else. Mr. John, I just discovered today accidentally by calling in to the Brunswick County. Boy, I had a time getting through them jokers. They wouldn't want to answer the phone, but I finally did persevere. And I found out that in regard to a case that has to do with an unlawful eviction of me, and this is going on over 4 months now out of my home, and 31 years ago, this same person was instrumental in causing me to have to go for and get a quiet title action. Cost me $29,000 to get the removal of a corporation that was defunct and was fraudulently induced and put on with the Secretary of State, Miss Elaine Marshall, in Raleigh, North Carolina. Nevertheless, she found sufficient evidence in 208 to officially squash and terminate after she specially interviewed me. The next thing is, I felt like we better go in a courtroom, and so we had a case heard in Superior Court by a high-ranking traveling judge, and not to be lengthy, and so that was on like July. Let's see, the 31st of the year 2013. Now, about 2006 or 8, somewhere along there, is when this fraudulent person hired an attorney and went up there and paid all kind of funds, which is illegal, and registered and the manager that he registered in this alleged LLC. I don't believe a Heavenly Father even knows who that would be. Nobody could, and that makes it difficult. Miss Elaine Marshall picked up on it because there was nobody running the. Something happened there. Am I still talking?
I can hear
Hello,
you.
Mr. John?
Yeah,
we can hear you, Dan. We're trying permission.
We got to wrap this up. And so the day I discovered that after 31 years, two judges has come with the same party, and that party. All right, can you hear me now?
We can hear you, but there seems to be something happening, and I don't hear John.
All right, let me hurry up with this. And so 31 years later,